Today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need.
From the right hash mark. And, oh, he hits the upright again! That's impossible! And the Eagles run out into the field, but there's still 5 seconds, so they've got to get back. He does it again.
Brought back to the spot of the kick. It will be
Did this hit
ball.
The first upright and the crossbar?
Bottom line, it doesn't go through. Upright, it looks like it bounced off the crossbar as well.
Oh my goodness. The Bears season's going to end on a double doink.
With no preseason this week or any weeks in August, the Eagles decided to take a trip down memory lane back to the 2018-2019 season Eagles-Bears wild card matchup at Soldier Field in Chicago, better known as the Double Doink Game. So I thought right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, as always part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, let's reminisce about one of the craziest games that, again, I'm a young Eagles fan, but one of the craziest games that I've ever witnessed the Eagles play in, especially in the postseason. Louis DiBiase here joining you on this Friday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, episode 4 this week of 5. Be sure to subscribe to the show on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. Again, to get 4 to 6 episodes a week downloaded into your phone. Today, you know, all week long, we've really got into training camp and we've talked about what's been going on at NovaCare Complex with the start of padded practice. But I thought today we'd have some fun with this Friday edition as we get into the weekend. You guys might be listening to this driving home from work, ready to have Saturday and Sunday off. Let's reminisce about what was a damn fun football game. Of course, at the same time, it was wild. It was down to the wire. It was nerve-wracking. It was a roller coaster of a game that continued what was a roller coaster of a month for the Eagles in 2018 and what was a roller coaster of a season. I mean, the ups and downs of that year were, number one, exhausting with the injuries and the up and down play across the roster. And then, you know, it just, I remember the high of winning that first game against the Falcons again at the goal line, right? Ronald Darby shutting down Julio Jones in the left corner of the end zone this time, as opposed to Jalen Mills doing it in the right corner. You start 1-0. Then Carson Wentz comes back week 3, and he starts off on the right foot. You get a big win against Andrew Luck in the Indianapolis Colts, and you're on the right track, and then you blow 2 fourth and longs, and you lose 2 games. Heartbreakers that you just can't, you're losing sleep over against the Tennessee Titans and the Carolina Panthers. You get blown out in New Orleans. Then Carson Wentz injures his back. But even before that, like, again, the ups and downs continue, because then you go on a little run after that Saints loss. Your backs are against the wall. You beat the Giants in a must-win football game, down, what, 16 there in that first half. You come back and win that game at the Link. Then you beat the Washington Redskins on Monday Night Football. So you're back at 6-6, and then you play the Dallas Cowboys. Pretty much, you think, for the NFC East, and ended up being the case, you lose a heartbreaker in overtime, you lose Carson Wentz, you're like, okay, there's the season, they're heading into Los Angeles, there's no way they beat this loaded Rams team that was the best team in the NFC at the time, and what does Nick Foles do? And because at the time, you're doubting Nick Foles again because of how bad he was week 1 against Atlanta and week 2 against Tampa Bay. He comes in and has the game of his life. The Eagles win 3 straight games. They get the help they needed. The Bears beat the Vikings week 17, and the Eagles squeak in as the 6th seed. Up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's exactly what happened in this playoff game against Chicago. We were all just, I remember a couple years ago, me personally, I was riding the high of squeaking into the postseason. We were just happy to be there. What I love about that game and about that season is it proved to me that winning the Super Bowl in 2017 wasn't going to make, you know, smaller victories mean less to me. It wasn't going to make just making the playoffs or winning a big game in the regular season or something like this, winning a wild card game, it wasn't going to mean less or not feel as good because you won the championship. You already got the big thing. So does that make everything else feel, you know, less accomplished, less exciting? It's the kind of the New England Patriots logic people talk about all the time with Patriots fans. Do Patriots fans enjoy anything anymore? Like, do they enjoy regular season wins, or is it just par for the course? Like, do they care about playoff wins until it gets time to go to the Super Bowl? I mean, and maybe this is a bad comparison because the Patriots have won 6 championships in the 21st century as opposed to just one for the Eagles. But what I love about what this game in Chicago represented for me and what this 2018 season represented was that, no, those small victories, they still mean a ton to you as a fan. That you're not satisfied just with one championship. That missing the playoffs that year would have drove me absolutely nuts. That just getting in was really important. It's the same with 2019. Even though we didn't think the Eagles had a legitimate shot at winning a Super Bowl with all the injuries they had on that team last year, winning the NFC East was extremely important. It was a memory that you're going to create that you'll never forget. I'll always have a special place in my heart for as exhausting and as stressful as the 2018 and 2019 Eagles were. I love those teams. And I think the Chicago game really represents that. I mean, when Cody Parkey missed that kick, I was ecstatic because that's the kick that I felt vindicated. I felt avenged. That's the right word. I felt avenged because in 2013 against New Orleans Saints, it was that exact same scenario. Nick Foles leaves the field with a lead with under two minutes to go in the football game to move on to the second round. And what happens? The offense, the Saints offense, the Bears offense, they march right down the field. The Eagles defense cannot hold on. They're in field goal territory. They're in their range of Cody Parkey, or at the time it was what? The Saints kicker. I'll never forget. It was Shane Graham. And the Eagles have no timeouts left. There's nothing you can do to stop this kick. And there's only time for this kick. So for you to be alive, you need them to miss what normally is a pretty easy kick. It's the one that normally always goes in and you just have to sit and watch it go through the uprights. It's the worst kind of situation to be in because you feel so helpless. Because it's so hard to block field goals that it's just up to the kicker. It's up to the football gods. It's up to Cody Parkey. And the fact that he made it the first time, but they iced him, and then he missed the kick. And not just that he missed the kick, but that it was a double doink. The fact that it hit the upright, the left bar, then it hits the center. And you think, I mean, can you, like, the 50-50 chance of that ball when it hits the bottom post for it to bounce out rather than in? You know how lucky you gotta be to have that go your way? I mean, that could have just as easily hit that bottom bar of the field goal post and dropped in, and the Eagles lose that football game. That game took 5 years off my life expectancy, but my God, I will never forget it. And I love when the Eagles do this, when they use their social media platforms and they make it seem like a game day where with an old, very popular game in franchise history, when it's re-aired on, you know, NBC Philadelphia or on major networks like NBC or Fox, and when the social media accounts make it seem like it's going on right now, they did this with the Miracle, the New Meadowlands in the spring. I love it. And that was a win again that really mattered to us, and it mattered to the Eagles. They were once again the underdog on the road that was playing with their backs against the wall, and they had been doing that all month. And they showed once again, when they're the underdog, that's their fuel. You're not stopping this Eagles team when they're the underdog. Every time they are. And again, I understand why they've been underdogs the past couple years with the injuries to Carson Wentz and across the roster. But let me tell you, in 2017 and 2018, those were the most talented, proven underdogs you'll ever find. I mean, yeah, the Eagles were underdogs in 2017 in the playoffs because Nick Foles was terrible before the postseason. And he really wasn't that good in the divisional round against Atlanta. But you know what? They were a one seed for a reason. They had home field advantage for a reason. So you shouldn't have been shocked to see them go on that run. And the same thing with 2018. I thought they should be favored to win that game, even though it's on the road against the number one ranked defense in football. I still said, this Eagles team is battle-tested. They're not losing this game to the Bears. They are not an underdog. Maybe the Bears should be favored, or maybe it's a split, but there's no way the Eagles should be heavy underdogs in that football game. And you saw why. You saw why. That type of scenario, this current era of Eagles football, they overcome that. They thrive in those situations. Again, it's stressful. It's a stressful situation to be in. But my God, did the Eagles always find a way to come through. And Nick Foles always found a way to come through. I remember watching that game and just, you know, rewatching tonight and thinking, he led them on another magical run against another number one ranked defense. I mean, his career is unlike any I've ever seen, where a player can keep going back and forth between, it's just this giant scale. It's all or nothing with Nick Foles. There's no middle ground. You can never just get an average quarterback out of Nick Foles. He's either a Hall of Famer that has his jerseys in the Hall of Fame for throwing 7 touchdowns in a game and breaking a record in 2013, and throwing for 27 touchdowns that year and only 2 picks, and nearly winning a playoff game against Drew Brees, where he has the lead with under 2 minutes to go, to then playing his way out of the league, basically, with the Rams. Then to come back and be terrible again with the Eagles as a backup. And then in the playoffs, he goes on one of the best runs a quarterback has ever gone on in playoff history and beats Tom Brady in the biggest dynasty in NFL history, I think, with the New England Patriots. Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, he puts up 40 points on that team to win Super Bowl MVP, to win the Eagles' first ever championship. He has a statue outside the stadium. And then he's terrible again in 2018, the first couple weeks of the season. All preseason long, Nick Foles was bad. He stunk. And then Wentz goes down again, and he beats the Rams on the road with his arm, by the way. It wasn't like that Falcons game week one where it was all the defense, it was Jay Ajayi in the run game. No, Nick Foles threw their way to victories against the Rams, against the Texans in back-to-back weeks. Then on the road against a number one ranked defense with just a couple minutes to go, you drive all the way down the field and on fourth and goal with Leonard Floyd in your face, the season on the line, you deliver a perfect throw to Golden Tate to take the lead and get that touchdown. That game perfectly defines Nick Foles' career. The ups and downs of that game, Foles wasn't great for 3 quarters, but when it mattered most, he became that same Super Bowl MVP that we were used to. And it was just, man, that game, I'll never forget it. Nick Foles especially, just so damn clutch. He never unravels in those moments. He didn't the week after either against New Orleans. In that fourth quarter, Alshon Jeffrey's the one that dropped that pass. At the 2-minute warning, they were in Saints territory, knocking on the door, potentially trying to win that game and get to the NFC title. In the Super Bowl, 4th-and-1, with pressure, he finds a way to escape, hit Zach Ertz, and move the chains. 4th-and-goal, the Philly special, he catches the football. Tom Brady couldn't do it. In 2013, same thing, clutch gene. This is a second-year quarterback that against the Saints, against Drew Brees and Sean Payton, his first playoff game ever, gets the lead with just a couple minutes to go. It was a roller coaster, and that's the perfect way to define that 2018 team, and it was fun to reminisce about that on Thursday night. Louis DiBiase joining you right here on Locked On Eagles, a Flashback Friday edition of the show, and today is sponsored by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now important to stock all the parts you need, and you can't do it in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand that his warehouse has, when you have computers with access to RockAuto.com? RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. It's a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. You know what I love about that double dunk game too in the 2018 playoffs for the Eagles were the crazy similarities of that game to other crazy finishes in Eagles history. Let me just use all the examples that I wrote in this article that I just pulled up from 2 years ago that I wrote the night they won that game against the Bears. How that game finished reminded me of so many different games growing up. That 4th-and-goal scenario where Nick Foles hits Golden Tate, the right side of the end zone, to take the lead 16-15 with under 2 minutes to go. It's under a minute to go, actually. It was a 4th-and-goal scenario with 58 seconds left. The score is 15-10 Bears. That's the exact same scenario. I remember when that happened live, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is last year against Atlanta all over again, where you're on the edge of your seat. It's a goal line showdown between an offense and a defense with the season on the line. And it's literally the same scenario. 58 seconds left, 4th-and-goal. In 2017 against Atlanta, it was 15-10. The Eagles won that battle at the 2 on defense, holding Julio Jones from catching that football. This time on offense, the Eagles come through. I remember thinking in that moment, oh my gosh, this is the same scenario, only reversed. The Eagles are on offense, and just like they came through on defense on the goal line in 2017, they came through on the goal line in 2018 on offense. Interestingly enough, that play design, where Nick Foles rolls right, he hits Golden Tate in stride, who's running an out route, one-on-one, That was the exact same play design the Eagles ran for Nick Foles when he was a rookie in his only win against Tampa Bay. Remember, as time expired, what, in 2012, the Redeem team that was awful and lost 9 straight games, I think? That last win they had, it was the last win of Andy Reid's career. Doug Peterson was on that coaching staff. It was the same play call dialed up between Foles and Macklin. I mean, the similarities are crazy. It doesn't stop there with the goal line scenario of 2017 and 2018 in the playoffs, the play design, but also, again, like I said in segment one, Nick Foles drove down the field, took the lead, and then the Bears, just like the Saints in 2013, in that wild card game, they marched down the field and put their kicker, Cody Parkey, Shane Graham, in a position to kick an easy field goal that's under 50 yards to win the football game. And this time, the kick actually did not make it. And also, we can't forget, after Foles hits Golden Tate, who, by the way, Golden Tate didn't even know what the play call was. Isn't that incredible? Golden Tate, he was making it up as he went. Golden Tate on the sidelines, he was mic'd up after, and he went up to Carson Wentz and Mike Wallace, and he's like, I didn't even hear him. I didn't even hear them alert it.
I mean, you gave him a look back.
I didn't even see him alert it.
What made you do it then?
I looked back and I saw him rolling.
He didn't even know what he was supposed to run, and it still worked. There's so many crazy things about this game. How about the fact that right after that touchdown, they're going for 2. What does Doug Peterson dial up? It was so cool. I really wish it would have worked. This time it was Wendell Smallwood, though. Maybe that's why it didn't work. They dial up a fake Philly special where Nick Foles does the same thing. He goes down to Lane Johnson. He pretends like he's calling an audible, right? Wendell Smallwood takes a direct snap instead of Corey Clement. And instead of pitching it, he fakes the pitch and then goes up the middle, leaps and tries to get the ball to cross the plane. I think he got it. The refs ruled that he didn't. But between the fake Philly special, Foles leaving the field, a field goal to win the game, you know, the goal line situation between the Eagles and Bears being the same as the Eagles and Falcons, the play design being the same as in 2012, Foles and Macklin in Tampa Bay. There are like 5 or 6 games going through my head right now this reminds me of. It's one of the coolest games that I've watched in my Eagles fandom 23 years in. Hopefully there's more, because there's nothing like playoff football. All right, guys, we're wrapping up this Friday edition of Locked on Eagles. It's a flashback edition of the podcast. The attention, man, let me just say, rewatching that wild card game in 2018, Eagles-Bears, the double doink, the attention and pressure on your team in the postseason, it's a nerve-wracking feeling, but my God, do I love it. There's just something special about playoff football. The stakes, they're so high, especially, you know, in the NHL, the NBA, the MLB, you lose a game, not a big deal. Because it's a 7-game series. Why do you think March Madness, there's so much hype to March Madness? Because it's a single game elimination. And that's the same thing with the NFL. There's so much pressure. And every game is nationally televised. Everybody's watching your game. When your team is on, everybody's watching. Because there's no other games going on. They make sure everybody's watching that game. They split them up on purpose. 2 on Saturday, 2 on Sunday. And I love it, though. And I miss it. I can't wait to get back to the postseason in 2020. And this time, the Eagles have another seed that they can grab. Remember, the NFL expanded their playoffs. No longer 6 teams get in. This time, 7. Every play matters. And the Eagles have put us through some nail biters, you know, throughout their entire history. But recently, I mean, last year against Seattle, that came down to the last couple minutes. Josh McCown at the 15-yard line, down 8. He had an opportunity to win that game for the Eagles. Didn't work out that time, but 2018, this game. The Saints the very next week, 2017, every single game. I'll always love that ride, you know, 2 straight years. But let me tell you, rewatching this game too, what it made me think, I can't wait to see Carson Wentz in those situations. I can't wait to see him in the situation Foles has been in over and over again. Against the Bears, 2 minutes left, you're in your own territory. You got to drive all the way the length of the field. With the season on the line, down 5. So you got to score a touchdown. I cannot wait to see Carson Wentz in that scenario. And Jadeveon Clowney being a cheap player is the only reason we didn't get that last year. Because I'm telling you, you put Wentz in that same scenario that McCown was in, the Eagles win that football game last year. We got a tease of it. We got to see Wentz in that scenario a lot in the regular season. And that's why I'm confident in what I just said about that Seattle game. Because you saw it against Washington. You saw it the week before against the Giants in overtime. You saw it in losses, too, against the Atlanta Falcons, week 2, week 3 against the Detroit Lions, week 11 against the New England Patriots, where Carson Wentz has to drive down the field. He's got to make the play to win the game or tie the game. Nelson Agholor drops the football in Atlanta. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside drops the football in the end zone against Detroit. And then against New England, Nelson Agholor drops another football in the back of the end zone. But we've seen Carson Wentz be able to do that, at least in the regular season. Week 16, a do-or-die game for the NFC East against a way more talented Dallas Cowboys team that was at full health, basically. Carson Wentz comes through. So watching this, it makes me miss the good old days with Nick Foles. But at the same time, you know, I'll always love that ride. But at the same time, it really does make me excited about Carson finally getting into those types of scenarios, those types of situations, in-game situations. And he's in year 5, so it's time that he does it. And it's not his fault. I mean, 2017, he's diving in the end zone against the Rams, trying to get the Eagles home field advantage, which he did, which won them a Super Bowl. So, of course, you know, he's trying to make a play for them there, and he tears his ACL. And then last year, he makes it 16 games. He gets into the playoffs, and he gets cheap-shotted. I mean, there's nothing he can do. But that was kind of my takeaway from this game was, man, I loved watching Nick Foles when he was on that magical run because it felt like it wasn't Nick Foles, man. It just, he was a Pokemon. He went from Charmander to Charizard instantly. When it mattered most, when the Eagles needed him to, boom. He is a level 3 Pokemon as opposed to level 1 when the games don't really matter. I don't know, maybe that's the thing. Maybe Nick Foles just has to treat every single game like it's a do or die moment. So that's what I thought of. You know, I miss those days, but at the same time, the feeling those nerves again and the pressure and the national spotlight in a single elimination playoff game, it really does make me really want that for Wentz this year. And hopefully they can get that for him. And hopefully he can get that for this team again moving forward. Louis DiBiase joining you right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning into this Friday edition of the show. We'll be back tomorrow for Stock Up, Stock Down for training camp to put a cap on this week of podcast. Episode 5 coming up tomorrow. Follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Birds and at DiBiase LOE. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.